Okay, let's start with a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word, Lord, to receive wisdom, strength, understanding, Lord. And Lord, your abilities to deal with the situations that, Lord, we in ourselves, we cannot. But we know, Lord, that you knew we can do all things, because that's what your word says. We just praise and thank you. Thank you for today. Quicken our mind and our heart to receive your word and the truth that set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was thinking about continuing what I was teaching last week, and get into some other characteristics of God. But last Thursday, I did a teaching on a topic that I believe is fundamental in understanding the way God deals with us. And I had questions after from some people to grasp it better. And I decided actually to take that topic and teach it again today, because many people are not coming to the Thursday meeting where I teach lots of things that we never touch here. And some of these things are important. And this is one of those things. And one of those things that actually I haven't seen many people ever talking about this. And really it's critical for us to understand the way God deals with us and the way we grow and the way we can participate in the process. So I want to really be able to explain it better and more clearly and make sure that everybody got it, even the one that don't come, don't join on Thursday with us. Okay. And has to do, you know, really the way we react and respond to God and God respond to us. Okay. See, it's important to understand that our experience, okay, and our attitude toward God are connected. One impact to the other. It makes a difference. Last week, the last verses I was reading and talking about was Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. You know, and it's really the expression of David, okay, as a result of the victory that the Lord had given him. It says there, the Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord this word of this song on the day the Lord delivered him from the hands of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And this is really an expression of, the result of the experience that David had concerning the breakthrough that he received in dealing with situation in which he was facing problem, was facing difficulties, was facing things that were difficult. And David experienced, because he was delivered from these attacks that were against him, you know, he says, you know, the Lord is my, the realization that the Lord is rock, you know, the rock is fortress, is delivered, and he's delivering, delivered them from this enemy. Okay, this is really the things that he, and so for that reason, he called him my God. Okay, the idea of God is somebody, someone that we worship and love. That's what it should be. And this is was actually what he was expressing himself in this. Okay, not only that, but recognizing that he is his shield, what protects him, what give him the power, what give him the strength to be protected. Okay, this is really what the result of the fact that this is not just theory. This is not just something that he said because he was repeating something that he read. He was expressing a feeling, an attitude, a position that he had because of what he had experienced. Okay. And this is really what makes a difference. That is not just something that we make up. It's not just something that we say because they told us to say that. It's because it's something that we actually are experiencing within ourselves. And the way we see God, that we, the God that we connect with. Hallelujah. And David's attitude reflected his experience. Okay, the one I trust. This should be the attitude. You see, trust is not something that we give because somebody tells you, you know, well, you have to trust God. Proverbs 3, you know, 8, 5 and following, you know, says that. But it's not just a question of learning some verses. This is a question of actually experiencing that because you know that this is the truth. That's what we have found out by our own relationship with God. Okay, my trust, the one I trust, my God, the one I love. That's what we are called to do. Okay, because why? Because he is just so good to me. And we take, you know, we had that position. It's not something that we impose on ourselves. Okay, not only that, but this, oh Lord, calling him Lord, that implies that he's not, you know, just not a word that we say just because everybody says that. It's because it implies that he's the master, he's the one that controls us, he's the one that tells us what to do. Okay, those words are not just words because we say religiously, because we go through the routine of repeating things that we have read before. Is because we actually do feel those things. Because what the things we experience about him, the way he dealt with us, the way he ministered to us. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, the problem is many times, you know, the message that is given, okay, to get people to want to connect with the Lord, is a wrong message. It's appealing not to the right thing, but appealing to the flesh. Promising things that actually the word doesn't even promise. That the word gives conditions for. And as a consequence of that, okay, people are pushed to make decisions and to take positions that they cannot really take because of their experience, because they know that that is the truth. It's as a consequence of that, they have expectations that actually are not met afterwards. And because they are not met, they get disappointed and they don't believe the things that they say. Are you following what I'm saying? So what happens is they end up backsliding and some of them are completely lost because they have been pushed to do something before even realizing, before experiencing the truth. Okay. If we sow in the flesh, because we got the fleshy message, you know, the Bible is very clear that that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So if we react in a fleshy way to a fleshy message, we are going to be not really walking in the spirit, but we are walking in the flesh. You have to understand that. See, Jesus' message wasn't, you know, you accept the Lord, everything is going to be fixed, you are not going to have any problem anymore. That's not Jesus' message. Jesus' message was, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the that way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. See, we need understanding of the way God works and what to expect from us, what he expects from us, to be able to understand and respond properly. Okay? We have to understand the way God deals with us. Because he's just not somebody that we can fool by telling things. He knows exactly the way we feel about things. He knows exactly what we think. And we have to understand that he knows, and we can't fool him. Okay? When we do not understand him properly, we are going to have a problem. Okay? And because, you know, and we have problem understanding because we are limited. We are not God. God knows everything. We know very little. And certainly don't know everything. And the way we think and the way he thinks is completely different. No matter how much Bible we read. Okay. Is the truth. Okay. He's infinite. He knows everything. And fortunately, he's merciful and gracious and loves his creation. So that, you know, he made a way for us. So that we can grow and we connect with him and we can get closer to him. And not because of what we do, but because of what he does. Because he cares. Because he wants to help us. Because he loves us before we love him. Okay? When we understand that, and we understand that, yes, okay, we can have that relationship that David had. Maybe even better. Because we know some things now that weren't so clear when David moved, but he had the experience, and that's what was the difference. He could say those things because he knew they were true. Okay, praise the Lord. And God has provided everything for us to have that loving, strong, powerful relationship with him, not out of our own strength, but out of his ministry to us. Because he wants to minister to us. Hallelujah. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says something. You know, you can take that and distort it, but the point is, you know, that is the truth, though. I know the thought of the plan that I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace, not evil. Okay. To give you a future and a hope. Hope is expectation for good things to happen. Okay. Hallelujah. Then you shall call upon me when you are in that kind of an attitude, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And this is where he's talking about when we got that and we do it the way he sees we should do. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. It's not when you do just something, you know, just to try it out. Let's see if that works. No, you really got enough information to give you the direction to move toward, and you start actually doing it with everything you got. Okay? And that then you will be found, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from the old nation. I mean, it doesn't matter where you are, who you are. He is going to call you back. He's going to, you know, the places you have been driven, the bondages you are finding yourself in, doesn't matter, says the Lord. I will bring you to a place from which I cause you to be carried away from. So that's really what he wants to do. And what he has done it with the gospel, the good news. You have to understand that. And we have to understand the implications of that. We are going to see how that is applied to us. Okay. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, you know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. See, it's in that message in which if we trust and believe in that, and we put all ourselves into it, that is going to produce the result out of itself, out of the word itself. Okay. To everyone who believes, doesn't matter what origin, what the things that they are, background that they have, everyone is going to experience the same thing because God doesn't change, works always the same way, and he's going to continue to work in the same way forever. And we know what to expect from him. Okay. And the way he does it is directing us, talking to us, is instructing us on what to do. Because we don't know it. Because we need to be told what to do. And God deals personally with each one of us to give us the instruction that we need to know at the place where we are. If we don't make that connection in which we actually hear what God is saying to us, and we are trying to do it in our own mind, we are not going to be very successful. Because why you're going to do it according to your own thinking, and your thinking is limited. But God knows exactly what you need right now. And he is there to let you know it. But if you have your own idea about going and doing the things that you think you want to do, no matter how religious they look like, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. You have to connect with him and learn to listen to him. And sometimes you're going to learn because of the mistakes you made so that you had to realize, I was wrong. I thought it was God and it wasn't God. Because we have funny ideas about God. And he doesn't think the way we think. He has his own way. Okay? Praise the Lord. See, in it. You see, in what? In the gospel of Christ. You know, in the message. Okay? The good message that God gives us. Okay? In it. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is saying to us? Okay, that, you know, in the message of the gospel, that God speaks to us. Directing us in the thing we have to do. Okay. When we listen what he's saying, not what people say, but when he talks to you personally and tells you what is right and what is wrong, the things that you have to do and the things that he expects you to do. Because he has expectations. God has expectations. And the expectation is that you listen to him and you do what he's telling you to do. Faith is not just believing something or believing what you want to believe. Faith is believing what God is telling you and is God telling you, not you thinking about it. And often what God tells you to do, you rather do something else. Faith is believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not believing in everything that people talk about. Is God speaking to you and giving you the direction, I don't like what you are doing in this area. Or I want you to do these other things. But you know, if you got your own idea on what to do, you're not going to listen because you are convinced you already have a real plan. To be able to hear God's plan, the plan that he has for you so that you have peace, the one that was in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, you have peace, okay, and you experience and hope as a result is that you have to be listening. And listening is not easy all the time. You have to realize that. It's not playing religion. It's not just doing the things that everybody else does. It's what God wants from you now. You know, and he is just stubborn because he knows what he's doing. And he expects you to do some very precise things right now that is communicating to you, and you may be listening to something else or following your own ideas and getting nowhere. But if you do what he tells you to do, you are going to experience what he promises. When God promises something, you know, you can be sure that he's going to fulfill it, because one of the characteristics of God, if we have learned about that, that he is faithful. That means he does what he tells you to do, but doesn't mean that, you know, you read the Bible, you take all the promises and you say, okay, I want this and this and this and that. Or you're fooling yourself because he's not going to promise you everything all that, because you are in a certain place and there are certain things specific you want him to do. How are you going to know? We're going to see in a minute. See, the thing is, what he wants to do is that you have a relationship, a personal, authentic relationship with you, the same you have with anybody else. Because he's more real than anybody else. And he knows everybody else doesn't just know as much as you do, which is, means very little. But you need to know what he knows so that you can get what he wants you to get. So that you are going to do what? You are going to be able to grow from faith to faith. That means from obeying each moment what he tells you, so the next moment you can do the next things, because otherwise you are not going to be able to do it because there is something else you had to do before. Now, that sounds complicated, but actually it's not. It requires some experience. It requires some making mistakes. It requires even making, you know, completely getting off and then realizing, my goodness, I was all wrong. Good. That's when you're going to start setting up. Okay? God's plan, he said, you know, you had to go to him, seek him, call upon him, and search him with all your heart. Or more important than anything else you're doing, than anything else anybody says, than anybody, you know, he has to be number one. That's the first commandment. You love him, that means, you know, he is number one in your values. If you don't do that, you are not going to be able to hear, because you are hearing the other number one. Okay? So, you want to, you see, that dawah was about David. That's why he was so excited. That's why he get the result he got. That's why he could fight Goliath, you know, no problem. When physically it was impossible. That's why he achieved all the things. You know, it wasn't perfect. He had his own agenda when he was looking around, you know, and things he shouldn't be looking. Are you listening to me? We are not expected to be perfect. You see, he knew what to do. He was smart enough to know and to have that relationship with God so that he could fix The big mistake, it was big, you know, it wasn't very small. I mean, it was a murderer, it was, you know, adulterer, was make the list. It was forgiven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are going to see that, how that happens, so that you understand how that happens and how he speaks to you and minister to you and tests you. Now, okay, if you want to be brought back from captivity, if you want to grow from faith to faith, that is the only way. It's not by doing your own little scheme, repeating the same prayer over and over again, asking stuff all the time that he couldn't care less about. But you do. And he doesn't answer those things. Because he couldn't care less. Because if he would do that, you would be just spoiled instead of learning something. Praise the Lord. Okay. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The faith that he spoke to you about doing. Okay. It's not something else. It's not just believing anything that you want to believe. Okay. Believing, see, the word that is related to you is a very specific. So when he speaks to you, you know, and you can get many things coming to you, but you know, you have to hear what he's speaking, what he's saying to you, to be able to choose. Because you know, you have the whole Bible. Where do you start? You have to start at the right place if you want to progress. Otherwise, you're going to waste your time. You're going to have to be religious. Okay? You're going to end up being like all the other religions, they're just there praying prayer that mean nothing. Just repeating something that somebody else said before. God doesn't need hours of prayer to answer. When Peter was sinking, he wasn't there praying, you know, Lord, and making a long list and talking about and with this and thous. He says, help me with your heart. He was going down. And Jesus just responded. This is the way God works. So let me continue here. Okay? Now, we have to understand that we are exposed all the time to things in the way we are in. The world around us. Nothing happened by chance. God, see, there is something that today is many preachers preach against. It's a complete lie. And what they say is, you know, God is not in control. The devil is in this world today. And this is completely contrary to what the scriptures say. The scripture says God reigns. Just you can read it all over the place. He's in control. Everything that happens is because he allowed it to happen. It cannot happen if he says no. So we are exposed to stuff and we are exposed to make decisions about the situations we are in. And we are in the place and God put us. And he's in control of the things we are going through. There is a lot of teaching today about this is completely wrong, completely unscriptural, completely doesn't match what the word says, but been around for at least maybe 80 years or more, which is completely untrue. You know, don't tell me the devil made me do it. You are tempted because, you know, the devil, and you do the wrong thing. Well, the devil, no. God has given us free will. And he is the one that orchestrates everything that happens in the world. Because he reigns. And he knows how to balance up everything so that everything happens according to his plan. Not only that, but he controls the things that you are exposed to. The word is very clear. I read you a scripture. I'm going too fast here. you know, we have to understand, okay, that when we hear from God, when we read the scriptures, that's one of the ways in which we get direction. But it's not the only way. You know, we get direction in many different people can talk to us. We can see things. We can be in situations in which we have to make decisions. And God is there to make sure that we are responding the right way. That's what God wants. That what we do lines up with what he wants us to do. Okay? And that, you know, when we hear from God, when we hear him speaking to us, okay, when we read the scripture, whatever it is, and we try to get direction, okay, we cannot interpret things according to our own way. When we read scriptures in general, but when we even get the words the Lord speaking to us, we have to interpret things the way God intended. The interpretation of what God is telling us is not open to personal interpretation. If God says something, that's what he means. And we have to make sure that we understand the right thing because that's the way he works. All right? Then what in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, you know, prophecy of scripture, but you know, not just prophecy of scripture. Anytime that God speaks to us, we have to interpret what he says the right way, not the way we want it. Okay? So that he's going to do that and he's going to produce the result he wants. Okay. Our proper response is determined by us hearing, either in reading the scripture or the things he speaks to us or whatever it is. Okay, hearing what he's saying and interpreting it properly. Interpreting it according to his ideas, not according to what people preach. What is actually written there, what is corresponding to what the scripture says. So whenever we get some direction, we think from the Lord, from people, or from anything else, or from the scriptures, okay, everything has to line up with what God says, with the scriptures. If there is something that doesn't line up with the scripture, no matter who said it, it's not God. That has to be our standard, our criterion that we use. We have to go to the Word each time we make a decision. We have to make sure that the decision we make lines up with what the Word in general says. And there is nothing, I'm saying, there is nothing in the Scripture that contradicts what we are believing that God is saying to us. Because God doesn't change his mind. He believes certain things and he sticks with those things, and doesn't matter if it's today in 1,000 years or it was in the 10,000 years past. He doesn't change. God does not change. So if we found anything in the scripture that contradicts with what we believe or what we believe that we had to do, that's not God speaking to us. We are making it up. And actually, we are pulled in the wrong direction. And we had to say, no, that's wrong. That's not God. Even if some people that think they're God knows are, you know. What happens is that what God does by speaking to us, he's going to try to make us follow his direction so that we are transformed from faith to faith, so that what happens, we are transformed through the word operating in us. And we are transforming what it says we should be like. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says very clearly that we would unveil face, seeing what the truth is, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That means, you know, what God says true, the truth that he wants us to follow, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. See, from faith to faith, believing what he says, and from, you know, that message changes from glory to glory. The way he is, glory is nothing else than what God is like. And if we follow him, he's going to be transformed, the becoming more and more like him. He wants us to become like Jesus. And we become like Jesus when we line up with the word, line up with the word, what the word says. And what he's doing with each one of us is guiding us by the things, one way or another, circumstances we are in, situations we are in, what is around us. You know, he's trying to guide us and, you know, point us the faith from faith to faith, from glory to glory, so that we are becoming more and more like he wants us to be. And the thing is, this is not a random situation. God is in control. He reigns. That is all over the Bible. So there is no escape from there. That means anything that happens is that he allowed it to be. Even if it doesn't look very good. And we are going to see that much more in detail. Okay. The important thing is that what's going to happen, the way we are going to, you know, how are you promoted from one level of understanding to another? Generally, you have an exam. You go to school. That's why you go to school. You know, they have an exam. And when you are promoted, when you show that you understand certain principles and you apply them, you can go to the next step. The school of the Holy Spirit is exactly the same. He sets you up. He put you in a place in which you are tested. And he sees the way you respond. If you listen to him and he told you what to do and you do it, you pass the exam. And you are promoted. If you don't do that and you do something else, you fail. And you are going to have to go through another test until you pass that exam. And God is really doesn't change. You know, he's stubborn about things and has to be according to his way. There is no other ways. There is only one way, his way. And you can be there spinning your wheel, trying to do many things and getting nowhere because you are trying to do all the things that you think you should be doing instead of doing what he wants you to do. And you get frustrated. That's not what he promised. You have peace and a hope. Okay? Now, you know, there is one problem that we have. And the problem is a word. In Hebrew and Greek, there is not the flexibility, you know, like different ideas have different words, but not all the time. In this case, in an understanding with what's going on, what I'm explaining to you today, it's one of those situations in which there is no difference in the word, and the two words in English are test and temptation. And in English, in Hebrew and Greek, there is only one word. There is no distinction between the two things. And that produces a heck of a problem for everybody. Because, you know, you listen to people and see the way they interpret the words, and they are completely off. Even the Bible has been poorly translated. And when I'm finished talking to you, you're going to see, oh, yeah, sure. I saw that a long time ago. And recently I actually found out that, you know, a very well-known theologian wrote a whole long article exactly on that. I said, well, I knew that all the time. Okay? So, temptation and test. Now, let's go to James chapter, let me see here. We have to understand the difference between testing and temptation. Okay. I explained that last Thursday, but I'm going to do it again, much more in detail. By his word, God gave us instruction that we should follow or not follow. Okay? He speaks to us. Either in the Bible or in any other way, he speaks to us specifically about things. God has given us free will to respond to anything that we have to do because he has acknowledged that we have freedom and he doesn't want to impose on us. He wants you to do the right thing because you line up with him. Okay? So he has given us free will and always, I mean, always respect our free will. Now, however, based on your choices, if your choice aligns or not with his direction, you will be either rewarded for obedience or punished for disobedience. This is the process that goes on all the time. This is how we get, you know, that's the school of the Holy Spirit. You know, each level that you, new level that you get to, you had to pass the exam. And the passing the exam is doing what God says to do in that particular area. Are you following me? Okay, that is the, from faith to faith. You believe what he's saying rather than believing anything you want to believe. You are not free to choose what you believe. You have to really choose what God says there. Are you following what I'm saying? So there is no private interpretation of what he's saying. There is a fact of either his way or the highway. Okay? Simple as that. And if you are obeying it, then you are promoted. You are going to get from faith to faith, and then manifest actually the glory that is included that, because you are lining up with the Word, and that's the glory of God. It's not your ability, it's not your power, it's His power manifested in the Word as you allow the Word to work in you and trust it and faith in Him, what He said, and you are changed from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Are you following me? See, you are not growing spiritually because of what you work. You grow spiritually because God is speaking and you are receiving it and you are believing it. And the Word has the power to do the work, so you really cannot even boast about it. He directed you, He empowered you, and He transformed you in His image. Are you still with me? Now let's see, you know, how it's expressed in the Bible and why it was a bit confusing, because you know, doesn't say, you know, quite clearly, you know. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men." Everybody got them. But God is faithful. That means, you know, He's not going to allow you, and this is saying, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So, you know, you are involved in an environment, you are in a situation, things are happening around you. God is in control of everything that happens. He's not the devil, He's God. Okay, and says, you know, and we're not temptation. We're also, but with a temptation, He's going to be a way of escape. He's going to give you the direction, you know, that you know, He won't only allow you to be tempted only for what something that you can bear. So He knows. I mean, you don't how far you can go, but God knows. And He's not going to tempt you more than you can actually handle. So He is allowing you to be tempted to the degree that is going to make you break through, but it's going to involve a decision. Now, according to the way you feel about that communication, that information you got, you are going to respond either the way God says or the way I don't do what God said. And you know exactly why you are choosing. And the reason is because you love the other things more than what God said. That's why it says, you know, flee idolatry, which is really loving another God. Okay, let me continue here. So, but with the temptation, we'll also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Sounds like it's funny, but that's really what it's telling us. What you want, what we want, we do. Because God has given us free choice, free will. When we align up with the God's word, then God promotes us. When we don't and do our own ideas, then we go against God's will, and doesn't matter what it is. We are going to, now this is what is reflected in James chapter 1, and where the confusion comes from. Okay, that's the New King James, but also the King James, the old King James is the same. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." That's the wrong translation. Okay. The word there properly translated, who endure testing. You are tested. And you see the way you respond to that testing. God doesn't tempt you. The word says just after, so we're going to see that. Okay, so, blessed is the man who endured testing. For when he has been approved, see, God, that's God's intention, that's God's purpose. He wants to approve you. He wants to promote you. Okay? When he's approved, he will receive the crown of life. That's the prize. That's the blessing. Okay? Which he, the Lord has promised to those who will do what? Love him. See, loving is really what we had to, the, what makes us overcome. Loving God more than the other things. Loving God rather than the things we want. Sometime. The thing is, you know, if you love God more than these other things that you had to are being tested about, it's no point. There's not even a temptation. You know, you couldn't care less. Why? Because you passed that level already. And, you know, and once you make the decision, it becomes very clear, even to you. It says, you know, I don't care about this stuff. You know, I got, no, God told me to do this. I'm going to do it. And everything is fine. And without effort, not because of you being special or you being so spiritual. It's just that you are not even tempted anymore. Okay, but you overcome. And then you get the crown of life, really the blessing of God, to be able to do everything that God told you to do. Okay? So God's intention is in testing you, is to prove you, to involve overcoming temptation and growing. But bless, you know, those who endure temptation, overcome temptation. Okay? If you love God more, then you are not going to be tempted even. You are going to grow. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted, O God. That's right. That's his proper translation. You see, God doesn't tempt anybody. And he's not tempting you, he's testing you. Which is a completely different thing, but the same word in Hebrew and Greek. So, you know, here he's explaining better, you know, he's using the right terminology in our language so that we can understand what's going on. So when, you know, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. There is no darkness in God. So he doesn't do that. His intention, even to test you, is really to help you to see and to make the decision. But we use two different words for the two to concept, okay? But there is no such a way to do, okay? So let no one say, you know, so this is the confirmation. God cannot be tempted by evil or tempt anyone, okay? He doesn't harden your heart. You harden your heart because you decide and rebel against God when you know you shouldn't be doing it. See, that's the problem also. You know, that goes on all over the Bible. You know, when it says, you know, God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. Well, it's not the God. God allowed him, allowed the decision that the Pharaoh made about not obeying what God was telling him to do so that he could make the decision to don't let the people go. And God didn't say anything, but didn't get blessed. He just let him do. And that produces a hardness of heart. Hardness of heart comes from our rebellion and decision against God. He doesn't force, he cannot punish you for something he made you do. It's like you say, the devil made me do it, or God made me do it. That's complete nonsense. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, this helps enormously to understand that we had to, that's why, you know, at the beginning of the, those verses, count it all joy when you are facing the different temptation. Why? Because, you know, that God is looking after you. God has prepared the thing for you. God is going to promote you if you listen. Because his plan is to produce peace and hope in you. Not to put you down. He cannot be tempted nor tempt anyone because there is no darkness in him. His intention, his desire is to transform you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And he is not your plan. It's his plan. And it's happening all over. You don't even have to think. Well, the only thing you have to do is, Lord, I know. You don't have to fight the devil. God deals with the devil and doesn't let him do anything that he doesn't want. Are you seeing some of the implication of what I'm saying? I see how this disagrees with mine with some of the teaching that goes around today. The thing is, that's what the Word says, not me. I mean, I'm not taking this, interpreting Scripture according to what I want. Okay? I'm seeing what it says there, and it's giving me a clear direction. Listen to God. Trust God. Trust no matter what's going on. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, and He will acknowledge Him in all your things, and He will direct your path. Go to the Word and check out the idea that you got about how to go about a certain situation, and you follow God's direction, and as you do what God tells you to do, you are going to be promoted. So that's why count it all joy. Because you understand the way it works. And you actually are there enrolled in His school of the Holy Spirit to be promoted from glory to glory, from faith to faith and glory to glory. So the whole thing, everything that happened around you, it's His work. And He's guiding you to give you the crown of life. This is His plan. This is His desire. This is His intention. Only good things. God cannot tempt, nor is tempted by evil. However, okay, there are punishments that comes from rebellion. That's what He did with Adam and Eve when they rebel. I mean, see, God not only plan and organize everything, but He's talking to us all the time so that we don't get confused. See, how many times, you know, it was pretty clear with Adam and Eve, you know, don't eat from that tree. If you eat from that tree, you know, you are going to die. That's exactly the truth. What that is, you know, the life of God was not in them anymore. So the life was gone. Now, that is not manipulation. See, people say, well, you know, that's manipulating somebody. No, wait a minute. You don't understand what manipulation is if you think that God is manipulating. God is warning you. Warning is not manipulation. Manipulation is what I'm telling you something so that you follow that you don't want to do because I wanted to do you to do it. When instead, you know, God wants you to do it for yourself. Not because He is giving you the direction because He wants to bless you. I'm not trying to take advantage of God. He's not going to try to take advantage of you. He created everything in order so that everything can be blessed. His desire is to bless everybody, to save everybody. But not everybody saved. Why? Because they rebel. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, He talks to us all the time so that we may make the right decisions. He warns us all the time all the consequences. Why, you know, so that's why that's why He made the punishment. Okay? Punishment is not evil. It's damage that needs to be done to protect others and protect you. Okay, that's another place in which the Bible is not very clear. It, you know, in Isaiah 50, 45, verse 7, says, you know, I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create, you know, the King James says, evil. That's not the word, it's not evil. It's Ra. Ra means calamity, problem. See, he create problems so that you don't want to go there. And he announced the problem so that you know that you can avoid it. I'm going to have this, I don't know if I follow completely the things I wanted to say, but I think it's clear enough. I'm going to make the notes available, you know, the thing, so that you can go through again. I want everybody to understand this, because if you understand this, that changes your perspective about the way God works, the way things happen, the way the devil works, and the way you can have victory, the way you can be transformed, going along with God, not because he manipulates you, but because he loves you and because you love him. You see, all the progress, all the things is based, all the, what he does and what we do is all based on love. You choose him. You love him. He loves you and he directs you accordingly. Praise the Lord. I hope you got it. But if you got this, then you're going to see, even when you have problems, that you have a different perspective about things. And you can use your problem actually to get more victory in your life. Praise the Lord. You see, we have a loving God, and the only thing we should do is love him even more. Because he is so good to us. He is so much, he has so much compassion that even, you know, he knows we don't need to tell him all the wrong thing that we do. He knows them before we even start. We don't even before we think about doing them. Okay, he knows everything. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love and your compassion for being there for us anytime, even when we don't want to follow you. You want to guide us from faith to faith and from glory to glory, that we may become more and more like your Son Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for planning our salvation as we are obedient to you. It's not the work we do, it's what you do in us. As we are obedient, and I will allow you to empower and transform us, we thank you for that. We acknowledge your goodness and depend on your love to grow in you and to become the people that you want. That have peace and have hope. In you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.